is Dr. Tar.
This is Professor. I'm going to fuck that skull head or feather. Whatever I am.
Oh, right out of the gate.
This is the midnight.
Jesus Christ.
Gadfly.
This is Dr. Feather ahead.
Featherhead.
Featherhead. And you are experiencing.
Hey, speaking of religious archaeology, my movie choice this week was Don Verdeen. What year was this? 2015, directed by Jared Hess, who also did Napoleon Dynamite and what else?
Nacho Libre,
a couple of others.
Napoleon was really fun.
I like Napoleon Dynamite.
Gentlemen Broncos.
That brings us back to this movie.
What was that, Jeff? Right.
Gentlemen Broncos, which is also on Prime right now.
I haven't seen that one yet. I should watch that one, but I don't know.
I liked it.
Go ahead, Tar.
Anyway, I guess the premise of the story is he's a so-called religious archaeologist on the hunt for artifacts to prove the validity of the Bible and all that stuff. You know, he wants to bring people into the flock. But he can't, so he fakes it. And that's kind of the idea of the story. Then he gets a church backing, who, by the way, is what's his name?
Danny McBride.
Mighty Gemstones.
Playing another role that he always plays.
Tony Lazarus, yes. Yeah.
And Jared Hess, by the way, also directed a few of the episodes in Righteous Gemstones, too. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, you can kind of see it. So, I'm just going to kind of open it up. You guys can go with the story. All right. Anyone?
I had not heard of the movie, and the only thing that I remember going into it was your apology on our Discord site. Sorry
about that.
I thought it was going to be funnier. I'm like, okay, all right. And I agree. I wanted it to be funny. I like the cast. Sam Rockwell is awesome. I like Danny McBride. I like Amy Ryan. I like everybody. Will Forte, you know, and the concept was funny. I'm like, oh, this could become really, you know, the satire is so great. Like, it could be really rich. And it just kind of gets to a mid-level, like, okay. And it never leaves there. And the last part kind of falls apart a little bit. But it just never became, like, truly funny or anything or too dramatic. It was just kind of, like, lukewarm the entire time.
It just didn't work. Where it wanted to go with it.
It wasn't quirky enough like Napoleon Dynamite is just kind of charming and sweet. But it was more like Nacho Libre. Like, I wanted to be funny because I like Mexican wrestlers and I like Jack Black, but it just wasn't. And again, Sam Rockwell is awesome in everything he does. We all love his performance in Galaxy Quest, one of the best, you know, best small roles.
True.
But it And I thought it was hilarious. We got Will Forte playing a Satanist, you know. It was just silly.
And his assistant.
Yes.
What's his name?
From the Greasy Strangler.
Elber or whatever. Yeah.
And there were some silly visuals, you know, the scene where they kind of rise up together, which is kind of fun, but it just goes nowhere. But anyway, I'll stop right there and I'll turn it over.
Yeah, I thought it didn't find its tone. You know what I mean? It kind of felt like it was all over the place. I don't even know that it was trying to really be funny or, you know, that quirky. It just seemed really kind of, even in the writing and stuff, it just felt very kind of plain, you know, unremarkable. I mean, I didn't hate it. I just, you know, and it was fine. I think it's,
I wanted more. Yeah. And
I think when you go into something with expectations like that, you think, oh, it's going to be quirky and funny and stuff like that. And then it just kind of flattens out. I mean, the quirkiest thing is the Jemaine Clement, you know, his character. And he kind of, you know, is
gets very annoying.
Yeah, it gets very annoying. The only, I think, what's the one thing that he did? I had notes here. Oh, he wants to live the American dream, which involves a Pontiac, acid wash Levi's, and a wife who is gentle and sweet and hot like stripper.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Or I don't even know what the situation was. So they were in Egypt somewhere. I think after she got hit in the gut with the rock, and he's like looking up at him, and he's like, "What? I'm sorry, where from? Don't give a fuck to stand," or whatever it was. It was just all one liner, but it was like, what? It was just, you wanted it to go one way or the other. Either become this gentle movie you want it to be, or just get kind of a little more outrageous with it and just,
I don't know. Lean into the farce of it, lean into the satire. You know, I love the idea of recreating these artifacts, you know, and creating this whole like con
I did like guy, the you know, like skull, those, though, that made
So I thought it was all really that was clever. Like that I wanted to see more of. That was silly. You could have exposed all kinds of hypocrisy within Christianity, all kinds of things you could have explored, like McBride does in the Gemstones, but it just doesn't do any of that. Like,
is that like stealing Tor Johnson's skull?
Well, the guy did have gigantism or whatever, right? That's how they found.
Okay,
that's why they dug.
Who stole Rondo's head?
The wrestler.
It's Zedar's head.
Yeah, Zedar. She's more like a block.
What about you, Professor Feather? What did you think?
I was, I'm on the exact same page as everybody else. I think the biggest disappointment to me is it seemed like Sam Rockwell was nothing, was a paper cutout. There was no acting on his part, really. It was like he was even throughout almost the whole movie. The only part that I found anywhere near kind of interesting and amusing was the Holy Grail, when they went to get the Holy Grail and how they had that all set up. I thought that was pretty clever. And I love the fact that the Chinese guy gets shot and he asks whatever Jermaine's character's name is, I told you to give him blanks. They didn't have any blanks. I told him to shoot in the air. I like that part. I thought that was done pretty well. That's like Dr. Head said, if the rest of the movie would have been more like kind of like that, you know, and then bringing it all back in and then doing the whole media extravaganza and stuff. It was just it was boring. I just found it extremely boring and uninteresting. And
be honest with you, I couldn't sit through it all in one scene.
There again, Danny McBride. He played Danny McBride.
And not very much.
A tame version of.
I like him to a degree, you know, but I'm finding he does not have very much range. He's about the same character in every movie.
Yes.
Zen, you know, and he's good in some of those movies. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Gemstones is one of my favorite TV shows.
Fantastic show.
But it's not just because of him.
No, the whole cast is great. The writing is whip smart.
The writing is great. Yeah.
It jerks you around. We finally did finish it, you know, it's like both very sad that it ended. Like, oh my God, it's so good. But
I still have to watch the last season yet.
Okay.
This movie, what's her name? The female role,
Amy Ryan.
She's really good. I like her. And she did a pretty good job.
She
probably did the best job. And Jermaine, he's kind of typecast too. He plays these kind of quirky characters that are all kind of similar, you know. I still think his best role was Flight of the Conchords. That was one of the most brilliant TV shows I've ever seen. But I loved him in it. And the guy is a fantastically good musician and songwriter. I mean, geez. But anyway, I just found it. I found it flat, you know, just really, really flat. And it took me two times to watch it. And I think I had said before, because when you said this movie, I tried to watch it a couple months ago and got about 10, 15 minutes in it and said, I'm not watching this. This is boring. So now I go, oh, now I got to watch the whole movie. Okay. So I did it.
It
I
took watched me about it. Four times to do it. But
Yeah. Not one of my favorite movies for sure.
I like to watch them at faster speeds with the subtitles on. That way it doesn't, if it's a bad movie like this one, I can do it in an hour, not an hour and a half.
It had some promise, and it was just... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, no, yeah.
Once again,
on paper,
kudos to trailers.
Yes, on paper, it's like, oh, we got it, we got a winner.
Yeah, yeah.
It is just not executed well. And you're right, Professor Feathers. You know, you're using Sam Rockwell, but he doesn't really do anything that lets you know that he's playing some kind of interesting or fun character. The only time he shows emotion is when he's like berating Amy Ryan's character and like yelling at her, which makes him look like a dick.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And then at the end, in the Holy Grail, he has some animation.
Yes.
That because, was, you know, that right. whole thing was
the performance.
Was
kind of, yeah. Which yes. I really did like that setup, too.
Kind of,
that
kind
was
of really came fun. Alive.
And I like how they faked the healing, you know, with the other Grail.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, I thought that was,
straight out of, you know, the like an Indiana Jones movie, you know?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I did. That's why I said it. But that one scene, and I was surprised because I didn't realize, I mean, you guys had said Napoleon Dynamite is a one-off from as far as I'm concerned, because I don't like any of the other movies you mentioned by him. I take that back. I do like the one Gadfly that you said that he did.
Oh yeah!
God damn it! The
Broncos.
Gentlemen Broncos.
Yeah,
that's a quirky movie. That's more in the line of Napoleon Dynamite. I liked it.
I've not seen it. It's on my list.
I thought you didn't like that one. Let's talk about that one sometime.
I like that one. We could maybe put that schedule of that as a thing.
Yeah,
but I didn't like Nacho Libre because I like the premise. Mm-hmm. I'm just not a Jack Black fan, so it was a Jack Black movie, and I just
and it wasn't particularly he's been in good.
Some
Jack
roles,
Black
don't get
movie.
Me wrong. He's been in some roles that I've liked, you know, but that just wasn't one of them.
No,
yeah.
And you wanted to like that.
I wanted to like.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, oh,
no,
I absolutely did. Yes, I wanted to like it. I wanted to like the character, the premise. It was, it was like, just never did anything for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in Don Verdeen, I liked what is her name, Joy Linda. The preacher Tony's wife, who was the former hooker.
She was pretty decent.
She was good. And she's always, whenever I see her in something, she's always got a, you know, a kind of a humorous presence about her. But those songs that she sings, are the Pillar of Salt.
Yes.
Oh, and, yes.
What was the other one? Lot's wife.
Yes,
that was pretty good.
So bad.
I love the picture that they send him
with those big boobs.
And then the statue they get. That's the first intimation that things are not going quite, you know, normally.
Yeah,
and like you said, you know, what's his name? Will Forte.
Yes.
You know, I like him a lot too, and he was decent in this. He wasn't
the small role he had. Yeah,
for the small role,
he did. And still. If you think about it, it's still kind of the character he usually plays too.
Kind of. He's a little more well-rounded than that. But I was Dr. Head. I did get a little bit of chuckle when they rose up out of the crowd and then went back down. I kind of thought that was a bit amusing. So it had its, you know, there again, had a few moments, but
a few moments.
Not enough to make it a good movie.
Well,
I wrote when they showed the skull with the rock right in the center of the forehead, though.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. I wrote down, what was it, about the song, The Pillar of Salt. It's all her fault. She should have listened when her husband shouted halt.
That was another good scene, you know. A bad movie with several good scenes.
Yes.
Feels like the devil farted in my brain.
Okay.
Don Verdeen.
Don Verdeen. That's a whole.
We give it a
15 minutes.
Meh.
Yeah. Shortest episode ever.
Certainly not sock-worthy.
I was going to say, we didn't have a whole lot to say about that movie, unfortunately.
And we all said the same thing about the movie,
too. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And unanimity. Well, we can pad this episode.
Well, I was reading the New Yorker wrote an article about it, and they said this is an anti-Jewish it's an anti-Jewish movie.
Anti-Semitic?
Yeah. Well, they said because the villain is Jermaine. They described it as Judea, whatever is the villain, not him. You know, it's the faith is the villain and stuff. So, and I'm like, this is,
I didn't deep. Get that at all.
Well, and I'm like, this is a way too deep of an article for this kind of movie. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
It is a religious satire, but you know,
it's a religious satire.
And it doesn't make it.
And there were Jewish, you know, the two policemen that came that were over the top, you know, and that, you know, that's kind of a, you know.
And there's still Jewish thieves and bad guys.
Well, I don't want to get into that.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, they're trying
to. No, I just meant mafia people. Everybody has.
No, that's what I said. That's a whole different subject, though.
But I just find it interesting when this is such a flat, you know, gets the attention. It's the New Yorker has to be like, try to be lofty about it, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It was made on video on demand. You know,
it's video on demand.
Yeah. That's what it was. It was released.
Was it? Was it?
Yeah. Very limited theatrical run, but it was mostly video on demand into 2015. So.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the box office, it only made it in box office. It made like 31,000.
And that's more than it deserved.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'd have been 10 minutes in this movie and gone back and said, I want my money back.
It was released at Sundance.
Was it really?
Wow.
And the main review in Sundance was meh.
Meh. By Unsane Radio, I might add.
Yeah, as I said, I would definitely watch Gentleman Buffalo or whatever.
Broncos. I'll watch that. Yeah. I'll find it out there.
That's it. That's a good.
It's segment. On Prime.
It's
right
on
now,
Prime
yeah.
too.
Yeah, it's a.
We can do an episode.
You know what else
on
is on
one.
Prime?
Yeah, redeem the director. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. You know, that's an iffy one if everybody would like it or not, I think.
I'll be happy to watch it.
Yeah.
You sat through this, so.
Yeah.
Zardoz is on Prime, too.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I've not seen that all the way through since I was like a teenager.
I saw it the drive.
So you were out of your diapers.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Where's my diaper? Where's my diaper?
Who's out of diapers?
What year did that come out?
72,
73, 74?
Yeah.
Was it that late? Was it
really?
Yeah. I was going to say my oldest son was conceived when I was watching that movie, but no, he was already born.
74, yeah.
One of the
Mrs.
early
games. They made him put on the Sean Connery.
Goldfinger or, you know, one of those, you know, From Russia with Love, maybe.
Oh. From Feather with Love.
I thought Goldfinger was a good
one. Yeah. Goldfinger. Plural.
The golden shower of movies.
I'm in school. Oh, wait.
There was a movie I started, I haven't finished, that's a Nicolas Cage movie called Army of One, which is on Prime. It's where he plays, supposedly it's like a true story about this guy who gets talked to by God. God talks to him and tells him he has to go over and capture Osama bin Laden.
Wow.
So
is it a true, based like a Nick Cage true story?
I think they say it is, but I don't know. I didn't like look it up to see, but they, you know, they say
just like Plan 9 based on the sworn testimony of those who lived through it. Yeah.
But it is a way over the top, you know, performance by,
With Nick Cage.
By Nick Cage? I can't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and who plays God? Russell Brand plays God.
Oh. That's kind of funny because he's a Christian now.
Yeah.
He's an asshole, man.
Yeah, well. Yeah. I think that was always there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. He can be funny. He could be funny, you know, years ago, but.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, there was times I enjoyed his humor years ago because he was a smart guy.
He is smart, yeah. He just.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
he's crazy.
What about, is it Lord of War? that Nicolas Cage is in?
Yeah, with
I haven't seen that. Is it good?
Anybody
seen it?
Yeah,
I got it on my list to watch. I just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, that is fun to follow just because he does like this crap. Then he turns around and does something absolutely brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching. There again, you know, it's Nick Cage, so I'll watch
it. I know. It's fun.
The movie poster was great. I used to show it to my class when I would have them designing posters, like movie posters for class.
Oh, yeah.
And they, you know, because his face is made out of bullets. You know, it's like hair is and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Have to look that look the poster up.
And his brother is Jared Leto in the movie.
Oh, I like Jared Leto.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually like Jared Leto as the Joker in the Batman.
Yeah, I did
Justice
too.
League movie. Yeah. I wanted to see more of that that he did in the because there he did a cameo in one of the Justice League movie, I think, or was it the Batman v Superman? But I wanted to see more of him in Suicide Squad. Like you see him for like a minute, I'm like wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, but apparently what he said, there was so much footage they could have shot a whole other movie with as much footage as they thrown away, like a Joker movie. All these scenes that they just didn't use any of them. And I'm like,
you talking the Joaquin Phoenix Joker?
No, I'm talking about the Jared Leto.
Oh, okay.
From Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And he makes another appearance in the Batman. I think either the Batman Superman or maybe it's the Justice League movie.
Yeah, it's the extended version. The extended
version of the Justice League movie. It has more Joker. Mm.
Yep.
Which I prefer, the Snyder version. It's a much better movie.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it feels a lot more like the Avengers than the original cut. But Jared Leto was good.
I actually liked the 4-hour version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't want to see it 4x3. You know, I wanted to see it gorgeous widescreen, not like I'm looking at an old 70s TV, but it's okay. The movie itself is still really good.
Yeah, I justified it by saying, look, I watch all kinds of movies that has black on the top and bottom still because of the aspect ratio not fitting the TV, you know, so I'm not going to worry about the other thing.
Yeah, not yet. We're just so used to seeing movies that are rectangles and not squares.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a good YouTube movie-wise did on the misuse of widescreen. He says most directors don't know how to use widescreen. And he's right. You watch a lot of movies and they just do not take advantage of the widescreen. They don't know what they're doing. They really don't. His examples were, some of the, best movies in the world, but, Lawrence of Arabia. I don't mind 4:3, to be honest. I kind of like 4:3 because I like the compactness of it sometimes. You have you really have to think about, how you're shooting and, what's in the camera field of view. More so than that's one of the misuses of widescreen. Oh, we got all this screen. So you don't need, but most of it is, just useless. Stuff, unless you're Sergio Leone or, Akira Kurosawa, somebody really knows how to
it's a whole nother story in the background.
Compose, And I don't think I've ever seen the Justice League 4-hour one. Is that one the black and white one?
Well, there is a black and white version, right? Or is it? Oh, I don't remember.
I don't know.
I know it was called.
I thought there's a black and white version.
There's a version it's called Justice League Gray.
Oh yeah, okay. I'd heard about that. I haven't seen that in one either. I'm not really interested in seeing people do black and white just because they want to make it black and white.
There's no need for it to be.
I really don't think so anymore. And
it won't look noir. It won't look golden age. It won't.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
It won't look anything other than you're watching a color movie in black and white.
In black and white, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do agree with Gadfly. The 4-hour version is a really solid version.
Yeah, is it? Yeah. Now I have to look it up and see if I can. It's probably not on any service I can get now.
I don't know. It was on HBO.
Yes, I don't have HBO. Although that's one I would, if I could rent it, I'd rent it, to watch it.
I might know someone who has a copy who you can get it from.
Okay, yeah, that would be good too.
Yeah.
I've been watching and I'm watching it very slowly. It's The Master by Paul Thomas Anderson.
Is that is that the movie with Capote? He was in Capote.
Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix and Philip.
Well, Phoenix is in it, and
Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah,
He's in it. Yeah. It's kind of a take on L. Ron Hubbard, Scientology.
Yeah.
Brilliant movie. It's a really good movie, but it's not a movie that you just lightly watch. You know, it's one that you actually pay attention to.
And, yeah.
And, you know, get totally involved in a lot like Don Verdeen, you know, how you really want to, you know,
right.
Analyze every scene in that, you know, every frame.
Yeah. Oh, just like Don Verdeen.
That's the
movie. Yeah, just like
that. I forgot we watched that movie.
What's that?
I forgot we watched that movie, Don Verdeen.
I like Philip Seymour Hoffman. I loved him in Capote. I thought he was brilliant in that. I also loved him in one. Oh. I forget the name where he's a gambler. What he does.
He didn't do anything that was bad.
No,
was a great actor. I have a hard time with him because I'm pissed at him. You know.
Yes. For ruining life.
For ruining his life. Yeah. I mean, that was just.
Yeah. So much talent.
Yeah.
So much talent. I mean, I don't like the movie Twister. And, you know, he's in it as a secondary character because he's just starting. I have no problem with that. You got to play the characters you're given.
Yeah.
But once he started being allowed to show who he was as an actor, it's like, oh, my God, this guy is so good. Like,
super everything. Good. Everything.
Yes. You know?
Yes.
Well, first time I noticed him was Boogie Nights. And he's just it was amazing. Amongst a cast of amazing actors, you know.
Yeah.
He was an amazing, you know, addition to that stuff.
And apparently what's his name? Burt Reynolds. Okay. He hated the movie.
Really?
He said he hated it. Wow.
Yeah. Until he got nominated.
Well, yeah. Then he probably didn't hate it. After
that. No. Yeah.
But he did say he hated it. You know, he just. And I'm going, okay. Well, it's such a different movie. You know,
it is, and it's a hard movie to watch. There are scenes that are so uncomfortable. The scene where they want to do the drug deal and the guy is like throwing firecrackers. It is so intense.
Alfred Molina.
It is so intense. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, someone's gonna like get fucking killed here. You know,
there's another one. One of my favorite actors is Alfred Molina. He's the best octopusy guy ever.
Doc Ock.
Doc Ock. That's the only Spider-Man movie I like.
Except they take away his motivation for being a villain. That's the one thing I hate about it. It's like,
I just like him.
You have to have a villain because the villain defines the hero. You know, the villain can't control himself. This is out of my control. Then he's not a villain. He's just someone who's got bad technology and he can't control himself.
I agree with that.
I mean,
it isn't my favorite. It's not my
It's comic booky. It is
very comic booky, and I just like Alfred Molina. I think
he's great. I loved him in that performance. Yeah, yeah. He was like, okay, I totally get that this guy's Doc Ock. I mean, I really do. You know,
and they did bring Doc Ock to life pretty well too.
I thought the fight scenes were fun. Gave in Sandman, same thing. I'm stealing because my kids are hungry. It's like,
you're not. You got no sympathy. We're not supposed to have sympathy for
Be a villain. You know, be a villain. Yeah, and then they brought the terrible Spider-Man 3, and they're like, oh God, that was horrible. Terrible. Just horrible.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I probably saw it and just
It's got Venom, and Venom's all there for like 3 minutes.
Didn't even see it. Didn't even want to see it.
Terrible.
Gadfly, what's the movie you said is the good Spider-Man movie?
Oh, there's
Goes Home or
There's Into the Spider-Verse. There's the two animated ones. Those are really good. And then the Homecoming, Far From Home, and
Home or something. Was it?
Those are a trilogy.
Go Home.
Was it? And the two before that, the Amazing Spider-Man. Those are actually really good as well.
Yeah, those are pretty fun. Good too. Yeah, with Andrew Garfield.
Yes. Yeah. Those are better than the ones before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of those. I have to go.
Yeah. The Amazing Spider-Man.
I have to try those.
Yeah. The first one has Doc Connors, which is really kind of cool. So it's great to see the Lizard. Mm-hmm. And then the second one's got Electro. You know. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And so
Electro is one of my favorite not really even a super villain.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah. No, they're borrowing a lot from the Ultimates.
Yeah.
You go back and forth. So it's the newer version of Electro. It's not green and gold.
Really, you think about it, these guys are just thugs, basically, but they've got such bizarre costumes on. What was Electro? Didn't he have
the star?
Star mask and green and gold.
Yeah, can you imagine him coming up trying to be all tough and everybody's like, oh, right. Oh, how shocking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are good. So you got five plus the two animated ones. I can't watch the animated one. The motion makes me sick. So I can't watch it. But I hear they're really good.
Yeah, they are. Some people consider those the best Spider-Man movies ever. You know, those two. Wow. I would say they're right up there. You know, they're really well done.
Well, the last one, I won't say anything about it, but the last one in the live action one with the parkour kid, I thought that was really great.
Yeah,
that was a lot.
What is it?
That's the last one. No, can't Spider-Man. Go home. Can't go home or something like it.
So maybe, I don't know, something like that.
No Way Home. It was No Way Home.
No Far Way home.
Home. Yeah, that was the third Far one. From yeah.
Home. Yeah. Home on the range. Home. Where is home?
Well, I think it's Homecoming.
I have no home.
John Holmes.
There's Homecoming.
John Holmes.
Far third from base. Home. Far from home, and then No Way Home. So those are the three. That third one's great. I thought that's probably one of my favorite ones. The last one.
Yeah.
And he's done being Spider-Man. So.
Well, after that last appearance, yeah, certainly. But he was shooting a movie. Andrew Garfield, I think, was shooting a movie here not too long ago. Or was it maybe the first? I don't know. I think he was here doing a movie last summer. Anyway, I'll put another tangent. Yeah. How's how much have we padded the show now?
Get we're at 33 minutes, so
plenty of time.
Shoot it out.
Yeah,
we're padding. High five, everyone!
All right,
tell us what your favorite
podcast.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say.
Who is this movie? Can't fight.
Music is.
Pardon the music.
The music is Mandragora, and the song, or the artist, the song is Zagramarsh.
Okay.
It's from the Tunguska.
Oh, is it?
Iconic music project.
I like this one. I like this song.
Yeah, you can find these, everything we have is on archive.org, comes from archive.org pretty much. The only thing you can't get are some of the silo dump anymore. I think he took all of the complete ones that he had up there and just put samples, so you can list like a few minutes of them. And but you can go buy them at SoundCloud, I think it is.
Is it SoundCloud?
Yeah, it's pretty cheap. Like I think each song is like 99 cents or whatever.
SoundCloud or Bandcamp?
It's Bandcamp. You're right. It's Bandcamp. Yeah. I think he has a
Bandcamp's great.
Too. Yeah,
Bandcamp. Yeah. Bandcamp. So shout Bandcamp Fridays for all every 100% of the money goes to the artist.
That's usually when I buy my
stuff. Same here.
Well, he was nice enough to give us free keys to a couple of the albums that I liked, and then I went and bought his whole collection and gave him like $150 because we used it. It also
good deal.
It would have been like $40 for everything, but I just went like, you know, we got so much use out of it, and I personally listen to his stuff all the time.
Yeah, it's so awesome stuff. Actually. Yeah.
And you have been experiencing.
Insane Radio @gmail.com. Flood that. fucker. Unsaneradio.com. Go there. You can listen to all 300 plus episodes. See all of the artwork or the pictures that Dr. Tarr does for the most part. Most of them are truly good.
Yes.
And tarandfeather.com. We still have a website. Tarr and Feather is on YouTube. We will soon be flooding the airwaves with more episodes very soon.
Flooding.
We've got a new
veritable episode. Golden shower of Tarr and
golden
Feather.
Golden shower of Tarr and Feather.
We'll muster it up for you.
And we actually do have, we're in the process of doing another episode. Yes.
Nice.
Got right in the middle of it.
Right in the middle of it. And that's it. Montag?
Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on YouTube, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the Facebooks, Montag Lewis on Instagram. We've got some good stuff coming up. We've got a show about Godzilla. We're all going to get together and hang out and talk about Godzilla. We're going to be working our way through the 100 worst movies, horror movies of the 80s. That's right. Thank you, Flick Chart, and thank you, Midnight Gadfly.
And you can see the Unsane Radio crew on the latest release of Heavy Metal Horror, too.
That's right. That's right.
Which is actually kind of entertaining.
It was a fun episode. Technical glitch caused it to screw up. But,
But by the time this comes out, it will be several episodes ago.
Yeah, several episodes ago. Exactly.
Remember a couple episodes ago, true. Heavy Metal Horror? But we only do episodes every other week, so it won't be too old. It'll still be pretty recent.
And you can find Heavy Metal Horror, all the episodes, on Unsane Radio. Just go to the Unsane Radio site.
That's right.
There's a Heavy Metal Horror tag up there at the top. You can click
They
miss all of that. I would really suggest going to YouTube to
In the Unsane Radio feed, it show up there as well.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they both. Yes. They're both in that main feed.
Nice.
Yes.
Fantastic. Nice.
We Freaks.
Gadfly, where will you be at this weekend?
What about We Freaks? Did we get We Freaks?
Freaks on Facebook. Family-friendly comic that is beautiful. Update, we've actually started, Gadfly has started accruing some of the material so that we can put the books out. There's a lot of material and even some bonus stuff we found, which is going to be included. So we're working on that. Hopefully, maybe by the end of the summer or thereabouts, we should try to have something that we can put out.
I want one.
We already have the first two volumes are laid out already because he put them into a PDF long ago, and I have those two PDFs. So we just got to get everything after that, and I'll just use the same template that he did to lay everything out. So it should be good.
Sweet, excellent. Because we got black and white and color. He did a couple color.
Yep.
Once in a rare one. Yeah, and I love seeing the characters in color.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, that'll be great.
Yeah.
It'd be fun seeing
Midnight Gadfly.
Calvin and Hobbes right there.
Yeah. Midnight Gadfly will be starring in the musical version of Blade. It's called Sing Blade.
Like I saw them French fried and vampires.
Mm-hmm. Long boy, Blade. Yeah.
A version of the Taxman. There's a deep cut Wesley Snipes joke.
Yes.